Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to 4.0 to Pro, the pickleball podcast that focuses on a single shot, tip, or strategy to improve your pickleball game with every single pocket-sized episode. Our goal is to make you better on the court every time you hear our voices. And now your hosts, 4.something Michael O'Neill and USA Pickleball National Silver Medalist, Senior Pro Scott Fliegelman.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of 4.0 to Pro, your pocket-size pickleball podcast, where we teach you a single shot or strategy every single episode. I'm Michael O'Neill. I'm here in Long Beach, California, joined by senior pro and awesome dude, Mr. Scott Fliegelman in Boulder, Colorado. Hello.
Hello, Michael.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
You're just back from the Kansas City, what is it, the NPL, correct?
National Pickleball League.
Yeah, it sounds like you had some fun over there.
Yeah, it's getting better. Our team went 2-2, the Denver Iconics. I somehow miraculously posted a 6-2 record on the weekend, despite very little practice in between the last two stops on the tour. But I've got great teammates, and I'm playing my role.
Nice.
So that's what it takes in doubles pickleball.
You're back at Boulder Pickleball, and as often happened, you noticed something in some of the groups that were playing yesterday and said, hey, I think we should talk about this. So I'm gonna tee that up for you to talk about swinging volleys today and when to take an actual volley versus an overhead and not to use overhead technique when you should be using a swinging volley technique.
Yeah, it's funny. We go back to our tennis youth when our tennis coaches would drill into us, you know, no swinging volleys, step in, punch your volleys. And you know, swinging volley, I'd hung up the rackets by the time they came into vogue. And I like to say Serena Williams, who's pretty good, made it super popular. And then all the up and coming girls and boys after her are taking balls out of the air in the midcourt, swinging, topspin, chest high volley. I even noticed that a lot of them let lobs get down well below overhead height, and they prefer the swinging topspin forehand volley, actually even sometimes backhand, two-handed backhand topspin swinging volley versus anything over their head. And I've been using kind of that observation in watching pickleball of late, and I want to see that more. I'm seeing players with all kinds of backgrounds take a chest high or eye level ball, primarily at the non-volley zone, and they apply overhead smash technique or tennis serve technique with the wrist pronation on a ball that I believe would be better struck with topspin. And that technique that they're using results in the ball either smacking the net tape or the fence. And it rarely finds the court because it has all this backspin on it. And it's what I like to think is what a baseball player wants to put on a ball when they're trying to hit it over the center field fence, which is the opposite of what we want as pickleball players. We want that ball, as you like to say, to tuck in or to dip aggressively as it nears the baseline. And I think for our 4.0 to Pro listeners, this could be a valuable improvement.
You see this most often in both of the pickleball players are up at the net. I don't need to say pickleball.
We're probably not. Pickleball. That's
we're playing pickleball. Hey, you guys are on a pickleball podcast.
Leave that in.
Yeah. Hey, it's pickleball, everybody.
Pickleball's fun. Hey. You didn't leave that in. You cut that out.
We see this most often when both players are up at the net. Well, pickleball players. What are we doing? It's luge.
Two-man luge.
Two-man luge. Okay. All right. That's enough, everybody. It dawns on me, Scott, that a lot of times this happens. And to me, this kind of looks like if someone's trying to kind of high-five from the middle of their face. That's kind of the physical move I see on this. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a good illustration. Again, we're doing this verbally here primarily. And yeah, it's more of a high five. and the ball comes off with backspin.
Right.
And that's the problem. If they're using this technique, you know, I like to say, unless the ball's like well over your head, then don't use overhead technique. But if it's well over your head, you know, extending your hand and your paddle up and pronating your wrist downward, that's great. You know, but the ball's up high and you can hit down. But if you use that same technique from eye level and you high five it,
yeah,
that ball comes off with backspin and has little chance of finding your target.
It's like a high five at a Microsoft conference from 1997 or something. That's what it looks like.
Exactly.
And those dudes walking on stage and awkwardly high-fiving. So we need to make a little space for ourselves to hit this topspin backhand or forehand that is going to be probably what, shoulder level or higher, right? Shoulder to maybe just above your head. That's about the strike zone here.
Yeah, maybe chest to slightly above your head. And this is primarily a forehand. Like I said, the mistake that I'm seeing is people using overhead smash technique, which is a forehand.
So we need to kind of do a little bit of a slide to give ourselves some space. So if the ball is physically coming at our face or our right shoulder, we need to have enough space to execute this topspin, high swinging volley. So in addition to having a stable base, you're probably going to have to shift to the left a little bit just to give yourself enough room to take the swing.
Again, as our right-handed listeners, yes, you know, which we primarily speak to, yeah, I love it. We've got to have that little split step. We're looking to achieve a stable base. And by sliding a little bit to the left, and even just hearing that squeak on the court just sounds so good to me, just a slide where you get your body out of the way so you can make contact diagonally off to your right, just somewhat off to your side. Now we're getting somewhere.
I probably hit three of them last night in kind of rec play. Middle of the court, I'm on the left side. They floated one a little bit. I definitely could have done a squatty overhead, but instead I did sort of a jumping right down the middle swinging volley, and it was executed flawlessly because I had the premonition that that's what we were going to do on today's show.
That's right. And let's throw some props out Lindsay Newman's way. You know, okay, she is really good at the squatting overhead.
Yes.
And I don't have a problem with the squatting overhead. If you're making contact well above your head, you can pronate your wrist and hit down, and it doesn't come off with a massive backspin. So if you have the ability to do that, Dekel Barr at 6'4" actually hits a really nice squatting overhead. But primarily we're talking about the slide, making it a forehand, not an overhead, eye level, and we need to brush over the back of the ball to produce that topspin.
Do we need to tweak our grip at all? Is that a thing?
It's becoming a thing. You know, I like to say, or at least observe, that there is a move to the right on the pickleball court that's happening, and that's just a twist for our right-handed players. One bevel on the paddle to the right, clockwise, from continental toward the eastern forehand, so that's to the east or to the right, but not all the way. So it's somewhere in between, and I affectionately call it the easternental forehand. And what that does is it closes the paddle face a tad, a few degrees, resulting in one of two things. Either you keep your same technique and the ball goes into the net, or you begin to adjust and brush over the back of the ball, giving it a little bit of lift so it clears the net. But now it has topspin on it, and then it results in the dipping or the tucking of the ball before it goes beyond the baseline.
I was trying to describe this to someone, and I think this is the grip that I describe as if you're trying to hold like a heavy frying pan, and if your paddle's a heavy frying pan, and so it's flat, and you grab it, that would be fully eastern, wouldn't it?
Correct, correct.
Yeah. So you want to do just one rotation, just a little bit of a rotation, a few degrees on that. So it still feels a little open. It's somewhere between, like you said, continental, which would be a handshake, and my heavy frying pan. So somewhere in between those two.
Exactly. And that V between your thumb and your forefinger for continental sits on the left-leaning bevel on top of your paddle. And when it's eastern, it sits on the right side bevel on the top of your paddle. Easternental, or what I'm describing here, is right in between.
Yeah, it's like on the ridge.
Yes.
Right on. So at the non-volley zone, when we have to execute this thing, it has to be a super compact stroke, because obviously we don't have a ton of time, first and foremost, but very compact backswing and then follow through. It's a really dynamic move. It feels aggressive on the court. It's like very quick and very compact. Whereas I think the further back you go, the more slow down or fluid or a further backswing you can take.
Sure. So much of shot selection has to do with what kind of ball is coming at you. And if that ball is coming really fast, then we're not going to have time for this. We're looking for more of a very quick reaction, punch, volley, use the pace that's already on the ball, redirect it back, you know, perhaps low at the feet of our opponents at the opposite NVZ. But if this ball is coming a little slower and the alarm bells go off in your head, hey, this is a ball I can put away. That's what I'm talking about right here. This is a ball that deserves to be punished, but we need to use, you know, the right technique here and not have it go in the fence or go in the net. But we really don't have time for a full backswing, and we don't need maximal pace on this ball. I like to think optimal pace, not maximal pace. So Paris Todd comes to mind. I mean, here on the 4-0 to Pro Show, we do look at pros as models for a lot of the shots that we're talking about. And Paris does a fantastic job of dynamically sliding, split step first, sliding, commit to forehand or backhand, get her body out of the way, take an optimal backswing, and then move aggressively with a ton of velocity through the hitting zone, imparting topspin, and that ball likely doesn't come back. Yeah, that right. She is just a great example. Watch her play. You'll see this all the time. Annalie Waters, Hunter Johnson comes to mind. Beautiful ability to put the ball away with a compact backswing and a topspin follow through, and that ball doesn't come back, and it lands in the court, doesn't go in the fence, doesn't hit the net. You know, that's what we're looking for.
It takes a very aggressive dip. Like if you hit the ball right, it goes horizontal for a while, but then because of the topspin, it really aggressively dips into the court. It's a very satisfying shot to hit.
I think so. And that's why I'm surprised to see, you know, 4 or 5 plus players who own this shot mechanics, especially from the baseline. I mean, they hit a beautiful third shot forehand topspin drive, and then they abandon it when they get to the non-volley zone and go with this hybrid overhead technique that has too much backswing. When they already own the mechanics, I'm just suggesting that we apply them in a more compact manner, which starts, like everything else on the show, starts with the beautiful footwork and get your body out of the way a little bit. And then primarily, this is a forehand shot. But those of us with two-handed backhands or aspiring to two-handed backhands, the same players that I just mentioned, Paris, Annalie, and Hunter, you know, whether it's to the left or the right side of their body, they get their body out of the way and they can do this beautifully with their two-handed backhand as well.
Yeah. And I was lucky enough to have all three of them, both of the Johnson brothers and Paris next to me, along with Lacey Schneeman, getting ready for the APP event last weekend. So they were literally one court over practicing while we were playing and got to see some of this stuff live in person. It was very great.
Lacey does this beautifully as well.
Yep.
You know, she'll lean in a little bit to the non-volley zone, get the ball as high as she can, and apply a swinging topspin volley to an eye-level ball.
What about in the transition zone? Anything we need to decide while we're there?
We've referenced it before a little bit when it comes to, you know, the red light, green light game that we need to be playing to optimally move with your partner or adjacent to your partner toward the non-volley zone following a third. And at 4-0 to pro, when they try to quote unquote keep you back by, you know, putting the ball with a little air on it, you know, headed towards your baseline, this is a great time to use this shot. At mid-court, swinging out of the air, top spin, ground stroke volley, you know, out of the air. And then they're not going to do this again.
Right.
Now we have a little bit more time for a backswing. Again, the footwork has to be crisp and dynamic, but we can get a little bit more backswing, a little bit more pace. And, you know, like most of our speed ups, hitting this ball straight ahead at the player who lacks the time to get ready for it is a better play. I do see this shot go cross court, and that cross court player has more time to deal with it and frequently deals with it well. So this is mostly a non-volley zone shot, but it also applies in the mid-court where occasionally I'll see someone take an eye-level ball and use that overhead technique when they should be using the other technique we're recommending.
But let's not, I mean, this is a rip. Like if this is well executed, sure, this shot is a rip. So even if they have slightly more time, they're still getting a ball pummeled at them. I mean, this should, if we do this well, it shouldn't come back. If it does, good for them. But they just got a ball with some heat on it, you know?
This is a ball you hit well. I've seen this. If the ball gets up in the midcourt, you get a chance to get it out of the air and you use your combination tennis and racquetball skills. This ball comes hot.
Coming in hot. How do we drill this? This feels like a two-player thing. I mean, you could definitely do it with a ball machine. You could feed slightly higher balls to yourself at the non-volley zone with a little bit of loft. And we should demonstrate this at some point. But with two people, I imagine you could have somebody, as long as you had a basket of balls, you could have somebody feeding you shoulder high balls, right? Or chest high balls.
Definitely.
The drill is probably them throwing it kind of at you, at body, to allow you to have a nice stance, to slide out of the way and hit this forehand.
Yeah, have your hitting partner aim for your nose, you know, with a medium pace ball, not a very fast ball. And you have to pick a side, slide left or slide right.
Yeah.
And get this ball out in front, but off to your side. So kind of on a 45 where we want to make contact with a forehand swinging volley.
I'd probably do it at the non-volley zone, and I would want a set as well at the transition zone. I'd like both.
I would as well. And then let's turn this into 7-11 while we're at it. Let's practice the shot, you know, 100 times and then put it into play. And,
oh, I see.
Yeah, put it into play. You know, one of you feeds from the non-volley zone and that, you know, third shot coming from the other side might get up a little bit. So now we get a chance to actually practice this shot. And as they're coming in, you know, perhaps they come in a little too aggressively on a ball that should have, you know, required some caution. You get a chance to put this ball away and you have a small area to hit it into because it's skinny singles. There's only half a court.
Right.
So let's not hit it in the fence either.
I like that idea. I think the big challenge would be to do it from the backhand side. That would be something we would probably all have to work on. Like you said, Annalee Waters does it amazingly well. It's one of her signature shots. Connor Garnett, who, by the way, I'm doing a little clinic with Connor Garnett and Matthias Johansson on Saturday. I'm not teaching. I'm the student, not the teacher.
Fantastic. I was going to say, yeah. Bring your 402p chops with you and jump in with the big boys.
It's a singles. It's a singles thing, which is going to be cool.
I hope you meet someone.
thank you. That's very good.
Not that kind of singles?
Yeah. Me and Matthias just, you know, paint the town red. Folks, you've now just listened to another episode of 4.0 to Pro. Hey, if you can, pop on over to the Apple Podcast and leave us a rating and review. It's very, very helpful for us on this little show. By the time you hear this, we will have hit 50,000 downloads. Scott, what do you think about that? 50,000 humans.
50,000. That's impressive. It was zero not that long ago.
That's right. That's right. That's true. All right, guys. Go get on the court. Enjoy your day. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to 4.0 to Pro. For more tips, find us on Instagram at 4.0 to Pro. If you have a pickleball question, submit it at picklehelp.com. Now, get out there and dominate. But don't forget to have fun.